You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As the month-long hotel strike in San Francisco slogs on, hotel workers across the country are beginning to show solidarity. On Monday, a picket line was set up in front of a Regency Hyatt in Monterey, California, and many workers refused to cross, disrupting hotel service. The Monterey protest was in solidarity with the workers who are currently striking against 14 hotels in San Francisco. Represented by Unite Here, the two sides are unable to come to an agreement over wages, benefits, and the length of the next contract. A similar solidarity strike was held in Boston 2 weeks ago.
Garment Workers Union Unite Here, along with a coalition of trade associations, has filed its eighth petition seeking safeguard restrictions against textiles from China. The petitions claim domestic textile production is being squashed by Chinese imports. Lloyd Wood, Director of Media Relations for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition.
After China joined the WTO, Chinese U.S. import market share increased from less than 10% in 2001 to more than 70% as of June 2004. So what we saw was when China had quota-free access to the U.S. market, they literally overwhelmed every other player in the market.
The petitions were given to the Committee for the Implementation of Textile Agreements, which has 15 days to either accept or reject the petition's charges. If they do accept the case, a decision will be made within 60 days.
Jack-in-the-Box restaurants across the country will no longer reject deaf applicants. The chain dropped a nationwide policy that discriminated against hiring deaf employees after a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a deaf Texas teenager. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Jack-in-the-Box last May after Alfonso Cruz was rejected for a cooking position because he was deaf and could not speak. The agency says the policy violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The hiring manager for Jack in the Box said the food-making system was too complex for someone who couldn't hear. But 3 weeks after being denied the job, Cruz proved he could handle the position by landing a job at a McDonald's.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Nearly half of baby boomers are experiencing some form of hearing loss. That's according to a new study released by the Ear Foundation and Clarity. Baby boomers are those born between 1945 and 1964. 76 million of them have begun to lose part of their hearing at a much more rapid pace than previous generations. 51% of those surveyed blamed the hearing loss on everyday noise pollution. The study also points out, though, that they are the first generation of rock and roll.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Like an outer space alien from a 1950s science fiction movie, the H-1B monster is back. H-1B is an immigration classification that has allowed high-tech corporations to import hundreds of thousands of low-paid computer engineers, programmers, and other skilled professionals from abroad, rather than paying the middle-class salaries earned by high-tech workers in America. These visas have been a primary tool used by CEOs to bust the salary levels of high-tech jobs, the very jobs that we were told were to be the source of upward mobility and middle-class opportunity for our citizens. At the height of the high-tech boom, greed-headed corporate executives wailed that they simply could not find enough Americans with the computer skills they needed. So it was imperative, they said, that they be allowed to bring in tech workers from India, Russia, and elsewhere to fill the gap. This was pure horse hockey. Far from a shortage of qualified U.S. workers, people with top-notch skills were practically begging for jobs and being rejected. The industry executives were creating a false crisis for one reason. They wanted to displace well-paid Americans with foreign workers who would take a third or less in pay. But horse hockey prevailed. With their campaign contributions and lobbying clout, they got Congress to triple the number of H-1B visas issued each year, and many Americans soon found themselves training their foreign replacements. Then came the high-tech bust, and hordes of workers of all nationalities were dumped by the CEOs. The H-1B visa levels were no longer an issue and were quietly dropped. But now that the tech economy is picking up again, instead of hiring Americans, the CEOs are wailing the same old tune about shortages, demanding that Congress give them more H-1B visas to import cheap workers to fill the new jobs. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop these greed heads, call Wash Tech, 206-528-6264.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the program, friends. Tom Hartman here with you. The voting story continues. It's like this is like a train going downhill. It's amazing the number of people who are organizing all around the United States to look for irregularities. Again, this, you know, there's a lot of smoke out there. There may or may not be a fire. It may just be the normal consequence of screw-ups that we see. It may be the incredible organizing efforts of the churches. Or it may be that the vote was hacked. And we will, you know, I am confident that we're going to find this out here in the next few months. This morning was on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and Kathy Dopp, the person who first turned me on to this, was on with me, and she says that they now have narrowed down several counties in Florida that are really very questionable, and so we'll see where this goes, and I will continue reporting on it both here and in the internet media. I guess Peter Jennings last night had one of my articles up on the screen, and he said, actually, I didn't see it, so I don't know what he said, but what I've been told he said was something to the effect of, there are Florida's and counties in Florida where there are more Democrats than Republicans registered who mostly voted for Bush. They voted for Bush last time, too. These are the Dixiecrats. And, of course, that's true. I point that out in my article. But somehow... Here's a very strange. This morning I was on KABU Radio in Portland, Oregon, and somebody called in and said, yesterday Al Franken said he debunked Hartman. And I'm like, oh, really? So I don't know anything about that. If any of you heard such a thing, please let Al know that to give me a call. The verdict is not in yet. I am not saying that there was voter fraud. I am certainly not saying that there wasn't. And I think that anybody who makes absolute assertions on either side is making a mistake. At the same time, here now we have Cam Carey. This is a Cameron Carey, John Kerry's brother. He's in charge of the checking the vote thing here. And he sent out an email yesterday. I got this... via a friend who used to work in the Clinton White House. And he said, I'm grateful to the many people who have contacted me to express their deep concern about questions of miscounting, fraud, vote suppression, and other problems on Election Day, especially in Florida and Ohio. Their concern? Their concern reflects how much people care about the outcome of this election. I want you to know that we are not ignoring it. Election protection lawyers are still on the job in Ohio and Florida and in D.C., making sure all the votes are counted accurately. This is the issue that we had asked Victoria Jones to track down yesterday. So here's the answer. They're still on the job. He says, Cam Kerrigan, he says, I've been conferring with lawyers involved and have made them aware of the information concerns people have given me. Even if the facts don't provide a basis to change the outcome, the information will inform the continuing effort to protect the integrity of our elections. If you have specific factual information about voting problems that could be helpful to the lawyers doing their job, please send it to vri@dnc.org rather than to me. The election protection effort has been important to me personally, and I'm proud of the 17,000 lawyers around the country who helped. It's obvious that we have a way to go still, but their efforts help make a difference. Their work goes on. Thank you, Cam Kerry. So, a beginning. The Kerry Edwards campaign and the Democratic Party in Ohio, this from Dan Hoffheimer, the state legal counsel for the state of Ohio, to the Kerry Edwards committee. Says the Kerry Edwards campaign and the Democratic Party in Ohio are involved in several pending lawsuits that are likely to go on at least until we are certain that the provisional ballots are properly counted. John Kerry wants to see that all Ohioans' proper ballots are counted, even if it does not change the outcome of the election. I am personally committed to meeting his expectation and spent all of today on this issue and will likely be working on this close to full-time for the foreseeable future. This includes the class actions that we already have pending. There is nothing to prevent other interested parties from filing their own lawsuits. I have told this to the press, so please share this email with your friends as you wish. This is from Daniel J. Hoffheimer, State Legal Counsel, Kerry Edwards, 2004, for the state of Ohio. So the state group is still on it. And, you know, in the have we moved into brown shirt territory category, This absolutely remarkable article that was in the Baltimore Chronicle, just startling. This from a portion of the ABC News interview with Al Gore, which was aired on November 15th, Barbara Walters interview. And, you know, I remember reading the stories and talking with people when I lived in Germany about what it was like in the early 30s. And, you know, there was just this kind of pervasive sense of fear, of concern, of, you know, something's going on, something's coming. And then the brown shirts, well, really, I mean, it really started down in Munich in the beer halls, you know, with bully techniques. And just, you know, just bully techniques. And, you know, could it happen here? Well, here, this, I just have to share this with you. Barbara Walters asked Al Gore, Al and Tipper Gore, she's interviewing them. This is the part that ABC chose not to run, according to the Baltimore Chronicle. I'm not sure, Walters, this is Barbara Walters. I'm not sure that people realize that while you were in the residence of the vice president during the Florida recount, there were crowds of people outside screaming at you. What was that all about? Al Gore. Well, this was the Republican response to what was happening during that 36-day period. And they organized busloads of people that came and stood outside the house all day and all night screaming at the top of their lungs. Barbara Walters. What? Get out? Tipper Gore. Things like that, yes, and sometimes things that we don't want to say on your program. And some people saw that they were in buses from churches, but it was organized. The one thing that they did mainly was reach the bedrooms of our children, and Albert was still in school locally and trying to study, so we rearranged, you know, the kids moved to a different part of the house, and I was trying to think of a way that we could kind of laugh about this, since obviously it was out of our control. There wasn't anybody could do about it. Anything anybody could do about it. So I got the boom boxes in the house, and I remember sort of what the government did with Noriega. I thought we'd try that, and I aimed them, you know, toward the crowd. Walters, the crowd? Tipper Gore. And I put nature sounds on, turned it all the way up. At least the kids laughed. Al Gore. There were a few, more than a few, who supported us and were offended by the organized chanting around the clock, who came on the other street corner during the day to express their support with signs. And, you know, emotions were running high throughout the country. It's just an unprecedented time. Karenna Gore. Well, when we were in the vice president's house during the recount, it was all very intense. And one of the things I remember was there was an organized effort by don't know whether it was the RNC or who it was. It was right-wing groups. It was definitely Bush campaign-oriented effort to bus in people to have a sort of siege at the vice president's house. And so they were all lining up there screaming. And it was kind of an assortment of groups. I mean, some of them were anti-abortion groups. Some of them were pro-gun groups. Some of them, they all had their different signs, but they were all screaming, "Get out of Cheney's house," the whole time. And I just remember being there next to my dad because I went for a run, and I ran back through them. And I was very upset when I came back into the house. My whole attitude was like, we've got to fight back harder. And where are our crowds? And my dad, I'll never forget his response. This is Al Gore's daughter saying. He said, "We have to do what's best for the country. And it's not good for the country to have this kind of divisiveness." And he was on the phone, really calling off the dogs. There are people who wanted to fan the flames of the racial issue and have real unrest. And he was on the phone asking them not to because of what was best for the country, not because of what was best for him politically. And that's really who he is. Walters. Do you remember the crowds outside screaming? Kristen Gore. The crowds were that were screaming outside our house, you know, "Get out of Cheney's house!" And other things of that nature were really upsetting. It was difficult. It was very upsetting that someone would yell those things at us. We just felt sort of like trapped in this, you know, little house with all these people yelling mean things. It's no fun. You know, whether you're the child of the person who's directed that or anybody else, it's not a good situation. Walters, were you scared? Kristen Gore, I was scared that the truth was not going to come out. That's what I was. Fascinating. Fascinating. Are we moving into brown shirt territory? One of the ways that the brown shirts were able to take over Germany was by convincing the majority of Germans that their economic woes that really traced back to World War I and then the Treaty of Versailles were the fault of somebody else other than the government. Were the fault, in the case of the Germans and the Nazis in the 30s, they blamed it all on the Jews. So, it's these Middle Eastern, people of Middle Eastern ancestry living among us kind of thing, you know. Well, we've got our own. We got another Middle Eastern bunch now. It's the Muslims. Here, the University of Maryland Network Knowledge Poll found this: supporters of George W. Bush, 72% still believe there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. 75% believe that Iraq was providing substantial support for Al Qaeda. 66% believe that Bush supports participation in the International Criminal Court. 72% believe that he supports the treaty banning landmines. As Robert W. McChesney points out in this article on CommonDreams.org, the catch? None of these statements are true. And then he points out political ad revenues now constitute over 10% of commercial broadcasting revenue, up from less than 3% in 1992. Overall federal elections cost $3.9 billion this year, representing a 30% increase since 2000. Might that be why the media don't hold politicians accountable to the truth? But there are reasons to be hopeful. All right, it's Evan Dersitz on Alternet. I think this is a good one to point out. Quoting Dr. Martin Luther King, "The arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice." The seven Democratic senators who voted against the Iraq War all won re-election, and they did it by an average margin of nearly 30%. So this is again. This tells me the Democratic Party, the Kerry campaign, did not go strong enough to their base, to the left. Zoom in, and the point becomes even clearer. Writes Evan. In Oregon, where Kerry, who voted for the war, won by a mere 4%, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden won with over 30% despite his vote against it. Wisconsin, which was too close to call on election night, didn't take nearly as long to declare Russ Feingold, who voted against the war, the winner. He won by 11%. As John Stauber points out, the lesson is this: Russ Feingold proves that an anti-war populist Democrat, a maverick, campaigning to get big money out of politics, can win and win big. And Evan points out these statistics should strike the fear out of the Democrats. And it goes on and on. I'll share a few more of these with you. But then I want to get into the real question for this hour that I wanted to share with you. Is America really ready for the conservative agenda? A couple of just absolutely startling stories in the front page of today's Wall Street Journal that bring this stuff right up to the surface. And then in the second hour, we'll get into how the election, let's deconstruct the election a little bit. It's 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really must be.
And welcome back. Yeah, let's come down and look at the ground here. Bob Jones University. President Bob Jones III. A few moments ago, I read this letter to the students in the chapel. They applauded loudly their approval to George W. Bush from the president of Bob Jones University. Dear Mr. President, the media tells us you have received the largest number of possible votes of any president in American history. Congratulations. In your re-election, God has graciously granted America, though she doesn't deserve it. Now, these guys say folks like me are dissing America. Get this. In your re-election, God has graciously granted America, though she doesn't deserve it, a reprieve from the agenda of paganism. You've been given a mandate. We the people expect your voice to be like the clear and certain sound of a trumpet. Because you seek the Lord daily, we who know the Lord will follow that kind of voice eagerly. Don't equivocate. Put your agenda on the front burner and let it boil. You owe the liberals nothing. They despise you because they despise your Christ. Honor the Lord and he will honor you. I have to say, as a Christian, I am not just offended, I'm disgusted by this. You owe the liberals nothing. They despise you because they despise your Christ. This is the worst kind of hate mongering. And he goes on to say, undoubtedly, you will have an opportunity to appoint many conservative judges and exercise forceful leadership with the Congress in passing legislation that is defined by biblical norm regarding the family, sexuality, sanctity of life, religious freedom, freedom of speech, and limited government. You have 4 years, a brief time only, to leave an imprint for righteousness upon this nation that brings with it the blessings of Almighty God. Does this sound like the Taliban to you? This from the president of Bob Jones University to George W. Bush. In the Washington Post today, Alan Cooperman and Thomas Edsel write an article, evangelicals say they led the charge for the GOP, suggesting that the untold story of the 2004 election, according to national religious leaders and grassroots activists, is that evangelical Christian groups were often more aggressive and sometimes better organized on the ground than the Bush campaign. Christian activists, they say, led the charge the GOP operatives followed and capitalized upon. That this thing, you know, bubbled up from below. That the, you know, this is the Christians, and this is not, and we shouldn't even use the word Christians, because there are the majority of church-going Christians voted for John Kerry in this election, according to the exit polls that I've seen. And but here we have, in Ohio's Warren County, for example, Bush picked up 18,000 more votes than in 2000. During the summer, the Reverend Bruce Moore, pastor of Warren County's Clear Creek Christian Assembly, gave two sermons explaining a Christian's responsibility to vote. He passed out voter registration cards. His 400 congregants circulated them among like-minded friends, registering hundreds of more voters. On this election, Moore said, because of the issues before the state of Ohio and the nation, they were passionate. It was all hands on deck. I have never seen a rush for voter registration cards in my life as a minister. Nationally, the backdrop for the mobilization of social conservatives fell into place when Massachusetts' highest court sanctioned same-sex marriage in November. I agree. That was the biggest gift the Bush campaign had, was the Massachusetts Supreme Court County, for example. Bush picked up 18,000 more votes than in 2000. During the summer, the Reverend Bruce Moore, pastor of Warren County's Clear Creek Christian Assembly, gave two sermons explaining a Christian's responsibility to vote. He passed out voter registration cards. His 400 congregants circulated them among like-minded friends, registering hundreds of more voters. On this election, Moore said, because of the issues before the state of Ohio and the nation, they were passionate. It was all hands on deck. I have never seen a rush for voter registration cards in my life as a minister. Nationally, the backdrop for the mobilization of social conservatives fell into place when Massachusetts' highest court sanctioned same-sex marriage in November. I agree. That was the biggest gift the Bush campaign had, was the Massachusetts Supreme Court deciding to do that at that moment. At the same time now, well, there is a little blowback here. The Christian Taliban is under attack in Georgia. The ACLU is suing Cobb County over a sticker in the biology textbooks that say evolution is only a theory. But, you know, this really raises an interesting question. Was the Bush campaign the dog or the tail? Who got wagged? You know, in this letter from the president of Bob Jones University, is he saying, Okay, George, you are the, you know, we are...
...has filed its eighth petition seeking safeguard restrictions against textiles from China. The petitions claim domestic textile production is being squashed by Chinese imports. Lloyd Wood, Director of Media Relations for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition.
After China joined the WTO, Chinese U.S. import market share increased from less than 10% in 2001 to more than 70% as of June 2004. So what we saw was when free access to the U.S. market, they literally overwhelmed every other player in the market.
The petitions were given to the Committee for the Implementation of Textile Agreements, which has 15 days to either accept or reject the petition's charges. If they do accept the case, the decision will be made within 60 days.
Jack in the Box restaurants across the country will no longer reject deaf applicants. The chain dropped a nationwide policy that discriminated against hiring deaf employees after a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a deaf Texas teenager. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Jack in the Box last May after Alfonso Cruz was rejected for a cooking position because he was deaf and could not speak. The agency says the policy violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The hiring manager for Jack in the Box said the food-making system was too complex for someone who couldn't hear. But 3 weeks after being denied the job, Cruz proved he could handle the position by landing a job at a McDonald's.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Nearly half of baby boomers are experiencing some form of hearing loss. That's according to a new study released by the Ear Foundation and Clarity. Baby boomers are those born between 1945 and 1964. 76 million of them have begun to lose part of their hearing at a much more rapid pace than previous generations. 51% of those surveyed blamed the hearing loss on everyday noise pollution. The study also points out, though, that they are the first generation of rock and roll.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Undoubtedly, you will have the opportunity to appoint many conservative judges and exercise forceful leadership with the Congress in passing legislation that is defined by biblical norm. Writes the President, Bob Jones III, the President of Bob Jones University, to President George W. Bush, calling in his chips. Hey, George, we put you in office. We're saying jump. And we're saying how high. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, TomHartman.com, our website, if you want to drop into the live chat room, which is always running here in the no boring zone. Let's take a few phone calls. Phil in Tampa, Florida on the line. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. You know, we hear from so many so-called experts. I wonder if, you know, I'm the person who is on the street working for the Kerry campaign, and I'd like to provide some information here.
Sure.
I'm here and down here in Florida, and I walked in my precinct area door to door in the hot sun and humidity, you know, and down here you sweat so much it's hard to keep the glasses on your nose because the sweat rolls them down.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, I'm real disappointed in a number of things. Number one, I'm real disappointed in Kerry in that he gave up before all the votes were counted, before all the allegations. What was the big hurry? What was the rush? I'm real disappointed that he sold me out right down the river. And I tell you, if the guy runs again, I'm going to sit home and watch video games or something.
Yeah, well, first of all, Phil, let me just insert here. I mean, you heard Al Gore describe what happened when he didn't concede. And let's keep in mind, the electoral vote has not happened. The vote for president has not yet happened.
I know.
It happens
know.
On the 14th of December.
But remember, the night before, Edwards came out and said, we're not going to give up until every vote's counted.
I know.
And then, with not even 12 hours later, they gave up.
I know. Phil, you know, I I have to say, part of me absolutely agrees with you and is absolutely disappointed. And on the other hand, another part of me thinks maybe it was politically the right strategy to follow. We would be better advised to have this conversation in a month and look back on it and see.
Well, I tell you, I see that he made a couple of fundamental mistakes.
Yeah.
Number one, he should have had a conference with his wife and said, you can get in trouble more for what you say than what you don't say. So do me a favor. Until this election's over and I win, just say I support my husband and God bless America. And don't say anything more than that.
Yeah.
She alienated a lot of people because she couldn't keep her mouth shut until the election was over. And he made a mistake by not telling her the facts of life and getting her to be quiet.
Well, Phil, she was the wife of a United States senator before she married
John
Kerry. I mean, she knows the facts of life, and frankly, that I don't think Teresa is what lost the election for John Kerry.
I think she took away votes. She should have just, you know, Bush's wife is a heavy smoker, but you never saw her smoke in front of the cameras. She hid it. Mm. A lot of times, you got to hide things. And she should have hid her opinions. Now, she's an extremely wealthy woman, and she's not used to being told what to do. And maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
The other mistake was that this gay marriage thing is a bridge too far. Okay? And he needed to, you know, and he needed to distance himself from that. You know, I'm living in Florida, but I used to live up near the Bay Area. And the people in the Bay Area, including the mayor, they're an island unto themselves, and they forget the fact that everything
Hang on, I understand you're upset, and
right,
and he was well, okay. I don't know why I'm defending John Kerry here.
He needed to distance himself big time from that. It's just a bridge too far.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with you. And he did what he thought was the best at the time with the information.
Well, he was obviously wrong, or he'd be inaugurated.
But hang on just a second. Why are you blaming John Kerry for what he did wrong when 70% of the people who voted for George Bush think that Iraqis drove planes into those buildings? Why don't you direct some of your anger, Phil, toward the Bush campaign that was lying to Americans?
I know that, but the point is this. He only needed, 100 and some thousand more votes in Ohio, and he could have won this thing. Okay?
Yeah.
And the mistakes that he made with his wife in the gay issue and other issues might have made the difference between being a winner and being a loser.
Okay, all right, I got it, and you may well be right. You may well be right, and I'm not. You know, I can't disagree with it. Good point. 1-866-889-8894. Joe in Utah is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, I just. I back some time ago called, told you I was running for U.S. Senate, and we'd started a political party called the Being Human Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I just appreciate so much the work you do. I really glean a lot from your website, from the information you put out and stuff, and all the other people that are out there doing it. And I just thought I'd reflect back on, with Kerry, you know, the thing that was disappointing, I've been, against this war since day one. And I found people not, I'm a truck driver, over-the-road truck driver, and people are not hard to understand that position if you clearly delineate it and get out of the fog and the smog.
I agree. He shot himself in the foot when he was out there at the Grand Canyon, and he said, I would vote the same way again. He shot himself in the foot, and he probably lost himself 3 million votes right there.
Yeah, because I tell you, you know what I got? I didn't have a presence on the ground. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I didn't get the website up until the end of August. But I have about 40-something issues that I've delineated, some of them rather extensively, and 8,139 people went out there and decided to vote for me. I got 1% of the vote.
That's great.
And so, the thing that it tells me, because there were six people and I was number four out of six, and what it tells me is that people are desperate for somebody to put out a clear liberal agenda that is
Yeah, this is you know, I absolutely agree with you, Joe, and thanks for the call. You're spot on. This is what we need. We need to be going back to the Franklin Roosevelt coalitions and to the roots of the Democratic Party as the party of true moral values in the United States, the moral value of knowing that if you play by the rules and you work hard, that you can pay for your kids' education, that you can pay for your medical expenses, that you will have a retirement. And boy, the flip side of this, we're probably going to have to wait to get into this in the second hour, but I just have to read you the first two paragraphs from this lead story in the Wall Street Journal today. Front page, companies sue union retirees to cut promised health benefits, is the headline by Ellen Schultz. When a deputy sheriff came to his door with a court summons, Neifel, a retiree in Union Mills, Indiana, was mystified. His former employer was suing him. The employer, beverage can maker Rexam Inc., had agreed in labor contracts to provide retirees with health care coverage. But now the company was asking a federal judge to rule that it could reduce or eliminate the benefit. And then they go through and they document this thing, and it's an absolutely blood-curdling story. I'm going to get back into this in the second hour because I want to do really an entire hour on what is the conservative agenda. And I can tell you can boil it down into two words, cheap labor. But it even... And embracing corporatism, this idea that, you know, corporations should be running our government, corporations should be handling our votes, corporations should be taking care of our national parks, corporations should be running our schools. You know, it's a great thing to have corporations making shoes. It's a great thing to have a corporation running a retail store. I'm all in favor of all those things. But, you know, I really don't want a corporation handling my vote. Thank you very much. Let's take a couple more calls here. 1-866-889-8894. Steve in Dallas, Texas, on the line. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to kind of help you on that debunking situation with Franken.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't him. That was one of his guests, and they were just making a passing comment about the article you'd written.
Oh, that's
and
good.
One of them said that there was a flaw in it. It wasn't Franken. I can't remember if it was Oliphant or whoever his guest was.
Yeah.
And they said there was a flaw in it that you had recognized and you'd corrected. So I didn't read your article.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like English. We all speak it only different. But
yeah.
that was what it said. Al didn't say one thing or another
against you
or anything.
Thank you, Steve. I'm very pleased to hear that because it really took me aback when I was on KABU, which is the largest community station in Portland, one of the largest in the country, and you know, people start telling me this, and it's like, what's going on here? I just didn't think that was his style, frankly.
He's really been standoffish in the whole thing. He hasn't made an opinion one way or the other yet. He's waiting for the facts to come in, so,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it's
and I certainly
wise.
Love listening to your show. I'm a truck driver, and I catch it in the morning, and I look forward to trying to catch it at night sometimes when I'm driving, so.
Well, thank you.
Keep me awake with your insights and everything else, so keep it up.
I'll do my best. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for listening to us on Sirius Satellite Radio there.
Thank you.
Do good now. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number, Mike in Indianapolis on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom. I'm from Indianapolis here, and actually I'm a first-time listener on the Sirius Satellite Radio, and I don't get a chance to listen to liberal talk too much. I'm a conservative myself, but I just thought I'd call in. I noticed you were talking about the conservative agenda, and I got to be honest with you. You know, this election, it was an important election to me, and one of the things, I'm a business owner, and I don't understand the liberal agenda. I didn't understand Kerry when he said he was going to tax those folks that make $200,000 plus when we fell into that category, and I was actually able, because of those tax cuts, to put three more people on my payroll, and I was going to have to cut them if those got returned.
Mike, let me pause you there for just a second here, Mike. You make more than $200,000 a year personally?
The company... you know, the way we file is it's a
you're a sub S corporation.
Exactly, it's not
okay.
A corporation.
Okay, so on your as a sub S corporation, are you showing a $200,000 income for yourself, a $200,000 profit every year?
Yeah, it's plus that.
Yeah, okay, and so you're doing well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're doing okay.
That's
but
great.
A lot of that,
you know, congratulations. Now, don't you think that if you're doing well, that you should be paying for part of the commons that you're using, for the roads, for the educated workforce that's being provided for you, for the currency?
Absolutely.
And in fact, don't you think that all of us should be paying the bill as we go, as opposed to putting a bill in our grandchildren's and great-grandchildren, our unborn grandchildren's box?
Oh, I absolutely do, and that's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm able to help society when I'm able to add people to my payrolls. I'm able to help society, like, for instance, the Social Security thing where I have to, you know, match these taxes.
Yeah.
To me, it makes sense if we're going to save Social Security. We need, instead of being in this, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, instead of fighting about, you know, keeping the same, let's figure out solutions on how to make it okay 30 and 40 and 50 years out so that my grandchildren will be able to have the same thing. It makes sense to me.
Well, Mike, you're sounding like a liberal.
Ideas.
Mike, you're sounding like a liberal. Social Security is a liberal idea.
No, granted, but I think it's a wise idea to try to privatize it, to try to make it so that, for instance, you know, if I pass away, my kids can benefit from that for an extended period of time.
Well, Mike, there already is a privatized version of Social Security. It's called 401ks and SEPs, and those are all that's it. It's right there. What Bush is suggesting is that part of your Social Security money go into a private investment fund that you can't touch until you retire. I mean, it's more restrictive than a 401k. It's more restrictive than a SEP. What happens if you get sick when you're 40 or 50? You can't work anymore. You wouldn't have access to it. What happens if you die before that? It goes back into the pool.
But you'd still have a larger percentage that would be still paying into the government.
You know, Mike, for folks who are doing well and making a good, solid living, it makes a lot of sense. And that's why we have 401ks and SEPs and things like that. It is possible to put aside money for retirement. But Social Security is not a retirement fund. It's an insurance program. It's for those people who fall between the cracks. It's just like life insurance. It's not the assumption is that not everybody is going to desperately need it. It is to keep people from falling through the edge of survival and the edge of not being able to survive. And so, as an insurance program, it has to be available to those people who otherwise couldn't make it. And those are not going to be the people who are going to be setting aside money, you know, throughout their lives. They're going to be the people who are working at Walmart all their lives, and they can barely pay the rent. And they're growing. The number of those people in America is growing hugely.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, but I guess I come from the philosophy that the better I do, the more people I can employ, and the more people I employ, in other words, by me doing good, they're going to do good, and that's going to help their families. I'm of the philosophy that I'd rather teach somebody how to fish so that they can go fish rather than give them something and not teach them to do a damn thing.
Mike, I absolutely agree with you, and I think any good liberal would.
I don't know. I would have to disagree because I think they're, you know, about giving this program out or that program out or there's another program or that program.
Like the $9 billion that Dick Cheney wants to give to the energy companies?
You know, that's hilarious. You guys keep bringing up the energy stuff and Enron and all this.
Well, the total in corporate welfare to corporations in the United States, you know, the top 1,000 corporations in the United States last year was $152 billion. The total of all welfare for human beings in the United States last year was $41 billion. Does it seem to you like there's something wrong with those numbers?
Sir, let me remind you that the corporations in the United States employ almost 50% of our population. I mean, I think,
and
the
therefore, and therefore, our
good.
Oh, I agree with you, but I don't think that our tax dollars should be handed to them. Therefore,
I
do think that they should be paying taxes. Why is it that General Electric doesn't pay taxes? Why is it that Enron only paid taxes 1 year out of five in the last 5 years that it did business?
My question would be if they have to pay the same amount of taxes or they have to get taxed real heavily. You know, we heard a lot about the outsourcing during this election. If I own that big company or I'm a partner in it, I'm going to say, let's get out of Dodge and go outsource into a country.
And that's why,
we don't have to pay,
you know, I'm right there with you, Mike. And that's why for 200 years in the United States, we had rules that said you can't do that. You know, you got to get an H-1 visa. Mike, we're out of time. I appreciate the conversation. Good talking with you. I hope you call again. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
Bonjour, my name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
This is a wind feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. On Friday in Santa Cruz, California, 45 people turned out for a solidarity rally in support of embattled workers at Sunshine Villa. Wind correspondent Vinny Lombardo has more.
Santa Cruz should be where?
Sunshine Villa is unfair.
Yolanda Moya has worked at Sunshine Villa for more than 3 years as a certified nursing assistant. Since February, Moya has been a key organizer in the SEIU contract drive. She says workers at Sunshine Villa are underpaid and receive too few health benefits for the heavy workload.
Many times we was short staffing.
Workers also complain of mistreatment by Sunshine Villa managers. Moya says the situation results in poor service to the residents. Recently, she discarded a table ornament that a resident had been chewing on. Moya says it was a health hazard. Managers apparently disagreed.
On October the 5th, they suspend me because I throw away a plastic vegetables in the garbage. And on October 12th, they terminate me with no reason.
Union reps believe Moya was fired for her organizing efforts. In July, workers at Sunshine Villa voted by a margin of 4-1 in favor of union representation. Joe Keffer, organizing director with the SEIU Local 415, says Sunshine Villa lawyers immediately filed 25 challenges with the regional director of the NLRB in Oakland. When these were dismissed, Sunshine Villa attorneys appealed to Washington. Last week, Keffer says the NLRB certified the union.
So now we can go in, start raising the issues, and we'll start negotiating our first contract. We expect that they're going to come in there and fight us aggressively and challenge every word that we put on the table.
Joan Bosworth, executive director of Sunshine Villa, snubbed repeated attempts for comments on this story. For the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Vinny Lombardo in Santa Cruz, California.
democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
When sundown pales the sky,
and welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. I just add to Mike in Indianapolis, by the way, if you're a businessman, a small businessman, and you're running a sub-S corporation, that is, you're running your business income through your private personal tax returns, and you're making more than $200,000 a year, and Kerry had come in and he'd said, okay, instead of doing all these programs that we're doing and having our grandchildren pay for them, why don't we pay for them? So let's raise the taxes on those earning more than $200,000 a year. All you'd have to do is stop your sub-S election and go to being a C corp. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. That's, you know, this is not rocket science. And then, you know, on it goes. But because I suspect you're not hiring people out of the money that you're putting in your own pocket. But you know, anyhow, I don't want to re-fight, as it were, the Kerry Bush campaign. But I do think that there are some core principles here. You know, people say, well, you know, real conservatives value fiscal responsibility and solvency, but George Bush is not, therefore he's not a real conservative. Come on, 84% of those people who identify themselves as conservatives voted for George W. Bush. That means that conservatives don't value fiscal responsibility. Instead, they value passing the buck on to our grandchildren. They value irresponsible tax cuts and corporate giveaways, massive spending increases, huge undisclosed pork barrel spending projects. To quote Chris Bowles, Bowers wrote a great piece of Real Conservative Values, rather than any kind of actual budget legislation. I mean, how do you know that that's because that's what conservatives are doing. Donna in Texas on the line. Hey, Donna, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to sympathize with the guy who called earlier from Florida who had worked so hard and volunteered. My daughter went through the same thing, and she was just really disappointed that Kerry gave up. But, you know, there's something good on the horizon that's going to happen. First of all, people are going to have to lose everything, which is a bad thing, but they voted for that.
Yeah, and this is what's happening.
And they're going to have to lose everything in order for them to realize what's more important than anything else.
Yeah, the Herbert Hoover scenario.
Yeah, you know, and I agree that I think the Democrats need to get more liberal. We need to get back where we used to be and stand through it thick and thin, you know, and I think...
And stand up for the working people and stand up for the values of fairness and decency and honesty in the United States that is the liberal tradition. Donna, thanks so much for the call. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. We've run out of time here. Real conservatives don't value your personal liberties. They like disenfranchising voters, challenging voters, making it difficult to vote. They want the government to be in your bedroom. They want to spy on your personal files. They don't respect your right to privacy. Yep. Conservative, the meaning has changed over the years, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As the month-long hotel strike in San Francisco slogs on, hotel workers across the country are beginning to show solidarity. On Monday, a picket line was set up in front of a Regency Hyatt in Monterey, California, and many workers refused to cross, disrupting hotel service. The Monterey protest was in solidarity with the workers who are currently striking against 14 hotels in San Francisco. Represented by Unite Here, the two sides are unable to come to an agreement over wages, benefits, and the length of the next contract. A similar solidarity strike was held in Boston 2 weeks ago.
Garment Workers Union Unite Here, along with a coalition of trade associations, has filed its eighth petition seeking safeguard restrictions against textiles from China. The petitions claim domestic textile production is being squashed by Chinese imports. Lloyd Wood, Director of Media Relations for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition.
After China joined the WTO, Chinese U.S. import market share increased from less than 10% in 2001 to more than 70% as of June 2004. So what we saw was when China had quota-free access to the U.S. market, they literally overwhelmed every other player in the market.
The petitions were given to the Committee for the Implementation of Textile Agreements, which has 15 days to either accept or reject the petition's charges. If they do accept the case, the decision will be made within 60 days.
Jack in the Box restaurants across the country will no longer reject deaf applicants. The chain dropped a nationwide policy that discriminated against hiring deaf employees after a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a deaf Texas teenager. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Jack in the Box last May after Alfonso Cruz was rejected for a cooking position because he was deaf and could not speak. The agency says the policy violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The hiring manager for Jack in the Box said the food-making system was too complex for someone who couldn't hear. But 3 weeks after being denied the job, Cruz proved he could handle the position by landing a job at a McDonald's.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Nearly half of baby boomers are experiencing some form of hearing loss. That's according to a new study released by the Ear Foundation and Clarity. Baby boomers are those born between 1945 and 1964. 76 million of them have begun to lose part of their hearing at a much more rapid pace than previous generations. 51% of those surveyed blamed the hearing loss on everyday noise pollution. The study also points out, though, that they are the first generation of rock and roll.
Been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Even though Washington is spending billions of our tax dollars to defend the homeland from a biological attack by foreign terrorists, our leaders were asleep at the switch on the need to defend us from a biological assault that everyone knew was coming. The flu. This is a deadly matter, for flu kills about 36,000 of us every year. Yet the White House and Congress were totally unprepared when a British factory that supplied half of our flu vaccinations was shut down because of contamination. This gross failure of leadership means that millions of Americans will not get the shots they need this winter, and many will die as a result. This crisis is the result of rank incompetence and ideological stupidity by our political leaders. Of course, these so-called leaders are now trying to dodge their responsibility, claiming they couldn't have known about the contamination at the plant. Hogwash. The problems there were widely publicized months ago. Also, this is the second year in a row that our vaccine supply was botched. It's been a crisis waiting to happen, and now it has. But the real cause of the failure to protect our public health is Washington's insanely irrational pursuit of privatization and laissez-faire theory. Washington ideologues tied our nation's health to the profit whims of only two of the corporations that make flu shots, neither of which are even in the U.S. Other nations are not facing a flu shot crisis because they wisely get their medicines from many sources. Well, sniffed the politicos, U.S. drug makers don't find flu shots a profitable enough business, so what could we do? Hello, Gooberheads. It's time to admit that the profit motive does not always serve the public interest, especially on health care issues. When corporations fail to meet the need, government must. This is Jim Hightower saying, people should not be dying because politicians are more interested in protecting their ideological purity than in protecting public health.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror, my wife's still in bed, and this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listing.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, Jeff in Boise, Idaho writes in, I'm a recent convert to the liberal way of thinking. It took 4 years of self-employment trying to get a small open-source software consulting business off the ground after losing my well-paying corporate computer programming position to outsourcing to convince me just how conned I really was. Good one, Jeff. Welcome back, by the way. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Our website, TomHartman.com, if you want to drop into our live chat room, well-populated with some of the finest and wisest and sometimes most eccentric minds in the entire Internet. And pleased to have you all here with us. And Jeff continues, I'll get to the point in his email. He says, our wages are or were the highest in the world. We had a wonderful middle class, the lifestyle, the envy of around the world, and even our poor were better off than most countries. Reagan started to change all that prosperity. The ultimate goal is to lower our wages to the point where we are competitive with the rest of the world again on labor costs and to roll back most of the environmental laws enacted since 1968. And that's pretty obvious to everybody, I think. He says, now the rest of the story, the part they don't want you to know about. While the real agenda is deflation of wages and keeping the wealthy elite in power and control, when wages deflate, the common folk will not be able to keep up the payments on their lifestyle. Thus, the economic pain will come to pass, making the Great Depression look like a Sunday school picnic. During this great economic dislocation, the greatest wealth transfer in history will occur, just as it did in the last Great Depression. And I would add, by the way, as it did in the Depression of the 1880s and in the Depression of the 1850s. This great wealth transfer... The transfer to the wealthy as prices crash. The wealthy elite will pick up real assets for literally pennies on the dollar. The phrase that was so, you know, famous and well known during the Great Depression, cash is king. Whoever had cash, I mean, everybody else was desperate. And some great fortunes were built during the Great Depression. Joe Kennedy's fortune, one of the more significant ones. Anyhow, Jeff adds, but note, prices will never fall before wages. Otherwise, the common folk could keep their lives worth of accumulated assets. It always takes a course of wages falling first, then prices, but not until everyone's equity is used up first. That is, they've maxed out their 401k, they've wiped out their savings accounts, they've maxed out their credit cards. He says, I wish I knew the answer in a painless way out of this one. How will this occur? It's anyone's guess. So in closing, what are your thoughts and comments on this? Well, you know, Jeff in Boise, thank you. You have nailed the problem right on its head. I mean, this is you know, welcome to the conservative agenda, big time here right now in the United States. I shared a little bit of this with you in the last hour. Our question for this hour, is America really ready for the conservative agenda? Until recently, writes Alan Schultz in the front page of today's Wall Street Journal, until recently, employers generally were barred from touching unionized retiree benefits because they were spelled out in labor contracts. Now some are taking aggressive steps to pare those benefits, including going to court. You know, Bush rants and raves about tort reform. What he's really saying is he wants to make it harder for individuals to sue. The vast majority of lawsuits that happen are initiated by corporations, not by individuals. He wants to make it harder for individuals to sue if they've been harmed by corporations. But the kind of tort reform that would prevent this is not, I guarantee you, on the conservative agenda. In fact, this actual program, what I'm describing here, is the conservative agenda. Ellen Schultz adds, I mean, this is amazing. There's actually very often some very good reporting in the Wall Street Journal. Just don't read the editorial page. In the past 2 years, employers have sued union retirees across the country. In the suits, they asked judges to rule that no matter what the labor contracts say, they have the right to change the benefits. You get this? This is from companies sue union retirees to cut promised health benefits. Today's Wall Street Journal. This is an exploding trend right now in America, my friends. People work 30, 40 years, put in their time, thought they had a pension, thought they had a retirement, and now the corporations are either using the bankruptcy laws or they're simply going to court and saying, we don't want to pay anymore. Yeah, I know we promised these people this stuff back when they were working hard, but they're not working anymore, so screw them. The Wall Street Journal notes, the corporations have little to lose by trying. Typically, as such legal cases drag on, the employers save money as some of the retirees, who have to pay growing portions of their health care costs, forego costly care, drop out of the plans, or die. Yeah, we'll stop paying them their health care benefits. And, you know, they get sick and they die before they have a chance to sue us back, right? If companies lose in court, the worst that happens is they have to resume paying benefits. They don't face punitive damages or penalties. What about the Department of Labor? I mean, I thought that they were supposed to help us. The Department of Labor that was created back in the 30s to defend the interests of working people. Yeah, right. Not under the Bush administration. A spokeswoman for the department says, retired workers aren't our constituents anymore. It's a quote right there. The U.S. Department of Labor is of little help. Retired constituents, quote, aren't our, retired workers, quote, aren't our constituents anymore, end quote, says a spokeswoman for the department. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And unions are not allowed to strike or file unfair labor practices on behalf of retirees, even though they have their benefits because they worked, you know, through a union. They tell in the story, in this article, the story of Basil Chapman. Last year, he was sitting on his front porch in Barboursville, West Virginia, with his dog, Bo. When he gets a phone call, this corporation says that he worked for 38 years, ACF Industries, says that they're going to change, they're going to say, in more of your health coverage, Basil, Mr. Chapman. And Chapman says, we have a contract. You can't do that. Then they say, well, you know, we're going to do it anyway. And he says, we'll file in federal court against you, B-word. Mr. Chapman tells the Wall Street Journal he didn't actually swear on the phone. The next Monday... Here, quoting from this article now, the next Monday, ACF, which financier Carl Icahn controls through an investment vehicle, sued Mr. Chapman in federal district court in St. Louis. Now, keep in mind, this guy lives in West Virginia, and he worked in West Virginia. The company asked the court to rule that it had the right to change or terminate health coverage for 678 retirees and their dependents. ACF said it was suing to protect itself, noting that the defendant, Chapman, has already informed ACF that it plans to file a lawsuit concerning the amendments of the plan. End quote. In other words, you know, when he said into the phone, you can't do that, I'll sue. So they sue him first. He says, I can't understand why they're picking on me. I'm just a retired guy sitting on my porch. Well, the Wall Street Journal points out they're more likely to pick out the people who were union activists or organizers to sue to take away their benefits. Chapman headed a steelworkers bargaining committee back years ago when he worked for 38 years for this company. And in fact, this union had accepted lower, well, here, quoting again from the Wall Street Journal, the union accepted lower starting pay for new workers in exchange for lower cost major medical coverage for retirees. And now those new workers have the lower pay, and they're going to court and they're saying, you know, we don't have to pay these retirees. Why did they sue in St. Louis? Well, it looks like the Bush administration, or maybe the previous Bush administration, or the Reagan administration, appointed a nice conservative judge in St. Louis, whereas in West Virginia there's still a judge, apparently, I'm guessing now on this, but, you know, they choose their venues. They venue shop this stuff. In West Virginia, it's probably a judge appointed by a good Democrat, Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter. The Wall Street Journal does note most of ACF's retirees live in West Virginia in the Fourth Circuit, but ACF had sued in St. Louis, the Eighth Circuit. The Eighth Circuit, they note, is more favorable to employers. Now, this is the tip of the iceberg, my friends. It is the tip of the iceberg. Here we continue. This another story from today. This is page two. It's like you can't even get to the second page of the Wall Street Journal today without, you know, the conservative agenda just being laid out for you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to rob the retirees, you know, bust up the unions, make the largest corporations more profitable, not so that they can benevolently hire more people like Mike in Indianapolis would have you think, but so that they can increase the dividends to their shareholders, who now only have to pay a 15% maximum tax rate on dividend income. If you work for a living, you have to pay as high as 33%, plus you have to pay payroll taxes. But if you earn your living by sitting around the pool waiting for your dividend checks to arrive, you only pay 15%. And so now more union employees are going to lose their jobs, you can bet, because here this article by Dan Morse in today's Wall Street Journal. U.S. cuts tariffs on imports of China's bedroom furniture. The federal government trimmed proposed tariffs on bedroom furniture imported from China, dealing another blow to U.S. furniture manufacturers, which have closed dozens of factories in North Carolina and Virginia in the past 4 years. 115 Chinese companies now saw the tariff that they have to pay when they import into the United States. This is supposed to level the playing field, tariffs. We still have them in a few places. 115 Chinese manufacturers saw them reduced from 12.9% to 8.6%. 65% of all the bedroom furniture sold in the United States is imported from China. One of the largest of the Chinese furniture manufacturers, Marcor International, their tariff went from 8.1%, 8.0. So more American jobs vanishing now. And these won't show up in the outsourcing statistics. When they tell you, well, outsourcing only accounts for 1% or 2% of the American labor force, that's true if you're talking about companies that say, okay, we're going to lay off Joe here in this city, and we're going to hire, Rajanish in Bangalore to replace him. That's, you know, that's a small part of it. Most of it is this kind of thing, where, you know, they simply lay off Americans. I mean, many of these furniture. And now, if you want a job in the furniture business, about the only job you can get is working at minimum wage as a clerk in a furniture store, selling Chinese furniture to your neighbors and friends. Welcome to the conservative America, my friends. You voted for it, you got it, right? 20 minutes after the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service.
Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Bonjour. My name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly, so I want to make it very easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organic French wines at half their regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is E-C-O-W-I-N-E. Au revoir.
At last, there's on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about The Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Bush administration can't seem to get it right when it comes to creating jobs. In the U.S., there's a net loss of jobs. In Iraq, the Bush administration blames a clerical error for overstating the number of Iraqi jobs in projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. The agency first said more than 88,000 were working in its projects as of September 15th, but that has changed to just under 46,000 blamed on a clerical error.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want.
And welcome back, my friends. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. Let's take a few phone calls here. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. You know, I thought it was interesting, the resignation of Ashcroft, and I'm wondering who you think's going to going to replace him? Is it going to make it? Is it going to be something along the Arlen Specter lines, where we're going to get something moderate as a bone to the rest of the country, or is he going to go with somebody that makes Ashcroft look mellow, which I don't know who the heck that would be?
I'm guessing it's going to be Alberto Gonzalez, and I'm seeing some news reports about this, that it will be Gonzalez, who is the Bush's counsel, Bush's lawyer, the guy that approved the internal memos saying that it was okay to torture people and, you know, during blah, 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 you know, the whole Guantanamo thing and the Abu Ghraib and whatnot.
Well, I guess that, you know, in a way, it's almost like a Nixonian thing where maybe that would be better because it might cause us to blow up faster. I mean, look at this, you know, this mess in Fallujah right now.
I wanted to get into that. And the mess in Iraq, I mean, you've got Alawi's cousin and daughter-in-law or whatever, daughter-in-law of the cousin, kidnapped today. Yesterday, what we are witnessing, let's just call it what it is, what we are witnessing is a civil war, and it's been going on ever since, by and large, the United Nations building was bombed back about 5 months ago.
And I don't know if you heard this, and I can't pronounce the name, but there's a major party that is just pulled out of the coalition government there.
Yeah, it's the
or the provisional government.
Yeah, it's the party representing the Sunni Muslims in the center. This is a civil war. Make no bones about it. This is exactly what those of us who were opposed to the war were predicting would happen. And George W. was saying, "Oh, there's going to be no problem." He says to Pat Robertson, "We won't have any casualties." You got Wolfowitz saying it's only going to cost $2 billion. Well, it's costing $2 billion every 2 weeks right now. These guys so badly bungled this and are continuing to, and now we're caught in the middle of a civil war. It's the worst thing that you can be in.
The BBC just a few hours ago reported that we're up to 10 Marines killed. And it's only been a few hours that this has been going on in this level of intensity.
Yeah. It's, these folks need our prayers. These guys so badly bungled this and are continuing to, and now we're caught in the middle of a civil war. It's the worst thing that you can be in.
The BBC just a few hours ago reported that we're up to 10 Marines killed. And it's only been a few hours that this has been going on in this level of intensity.
Yeah. It's, these folks need our prayers. Beyond that, the election's over. Beyond that, I'm not sure what we can do, but other than speak out and continue to speak out. This should never happen again. This nation must. We should have learned our lesson from Vietnam. Here we are again. We have to get out of there. We have to get out of there quickly. We have become a problem rather than a solution. And we must learn our lesson from this. Chuck, thanks so much for the call. Good to hear from you. Rick in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying about the economy and outsourcing and that sort of thing. And I guess what I don't understand about
the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Out of His Wolfowitz. Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world, and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity. Conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh says this about the book.
Quote it everywhere. Buy 10 books and give them away. Don't let this action go unheard. You may feel like a voice in the wilderness, but it is your voice we're waiting to hear. Yours is the crucial vote. You are the determining factor. We reach critical mass when we reach you, and you choose to reach others with the simple message of this book. Let us act at last in the best interest of all. Then the sun will shine another day, and another still, and life will not merely go on, but achieve its highest expression, its grandest glory, its greatest joy. Can we give this gift to our children? Please say yes.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
This is a Win feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. George Bush will remain in the White House, and with Republican control of both the House and Senate and freed of re-election concerns, he has free rein to impose a so-called ownership society. This buzzword stands in for a host of policies Republicans are itching to thrust upon America.
I'd say that the hallmark of the ownership society is privatizing Social Security.
Gretchen Young is the Vice President of Government Affairs for Ann Consulting.
The two other major elements in the benefits arena are health savings accounts, where individuals take more responsibility. And then there's also an element in the retirement part of the agenda, which would emphasize something called a lifetime savings account.
Young says under the president's proposal, individuals would get a $300 grant to seed their health savings account, or HSA, and a $700 tax credit.
For people who did not want to go the HSA route, they would get a $3,000 tax credit for purchasing family health insurance, or $1,000 for purchasing individual health insurance. So these will not cover the cost of health insurance, but these will certainly go a long way to helping these individuals get health insurance.
Ownership society, what you find is that it's talking about ownership, but it mentions nothing about the precursor of ownership, which is income.
Jack Minnis is an economist.
Everything that Bush has done in the 3.5 years he's been in office is to curtail or suppress consumer income. And how one gets from lack of income to ownership is a mystery unless he is prepared to legalize bank robbery.
According to the Tax Foundation analysis of IRS statistics, 58 million income-earning households pay no income taxes, 94% of which earn less than $40,000 per year. So a health care tax break doesn't help low-income workers. With the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
So, hey, there's a new American way. No one's serving those deserving, but there's less tax to pay. We abuse our might and mock the world as we say. Don't mess with the U.S. of A.
And welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour. You know, in the process of grieving, anger is part of it. Please, let's collectively not kill the messengers. Or for that matter, the message. I shouldn't probably have said that if Hillary runs, she's going to lose. Who knows? I mean, you know, who knows? And I think that I've heard a couple of other liberal talk show hosts in the last couple of days fielding calls from angry callers going, you know, if you want to direct your anger, I suggest that you direct it to the mainstream media that has allowed 74% of Bush voters to believe that Iraqis were in the planes that hit the towers on 9/11. There's an appropriate place for your anger. 1-866-889-8894. Michael in New York on the line. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I apologize, but I do have a little bit of a rah-rah-rah-rah for you.
Go for it.
Because
I believe that the disillusionment of the average American is perpetuated by the administration in power. And when you have such a fundamental right as to a fair and
you still there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm just I'm usually at a loss for words.
Oh, okay.
But no, when you have an election as shady as this,
yeah,
where I mean these sort of questions, they just shouldn't be out there. These sort of doubts, they shouldn't be in the average American's mind.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. And there are people investigating them, and I've been reporting on them. You know, we did the first hour of this program on this, on the whole issue of the potential of election fraud, and have for the last 3 or 4 days. These are issues that need to be raised. But beyond that, we also need to be organizing. We need to be educating. We need to be getting ready for the next time around. We need to either be infiltrating and building the Democratic Party, or coming up with an alternative. We need to be forming a progressive alliance in the United States, a movement, a progressive or liberal movement in the United States that is perhaps even independent of any party, in my opinion, that can choose to support a party or not.
Well, if the election's rigged, what's the point of even going out to vote?
I agree, and if the election's rigged, we need to find that out, and I suspect that people will if it was. I mean, there's just an army of people looking into this and prosecute the folks involved, and we need to get corporations out of our election process, and I'm not going to stop flogging that one ever. Thanks for the call, Michael. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, telling the truth that multinational corporations don't really want you to know about.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As the month-long hotel strike in San Francisco slogs on, hotel workers across the country are beginning to show solidarity. On Monday, a picket line was set up in front of a Regency Hyatt in Monterey, California, and many workers refused to cross, disrupting hotel service. The Monterey protest was in solidarity with the workers who are currently striking against 14 hotels in San Francisco. Represented by Unite Here, the two sides are unable to come to an agreement over wages, benefits, and the length of the next contract. A similar solidarity strike was held in Boston 2 weeks ago.
Garment Workers Union Unite Here, along with a coalition of trade associations, has filed its 8th petition seeking safeguard restrictions against textiles from China. The petitions claim domestic textile production is being squashed by Chinese imports. Lloyd Wood, Director of Media Relations for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition.
After China joined the WTO, Chinese U.S. import market share increased from less than 10% in 2001 to more than 70% as of June 2004. So what we saw was when China had quota-free access to the U.S. market, they literally overwhelmed every other player in the market.
The petitions were given to the Committee for the Implementation of Textile Agreements, which has 15 days to either accept or reject the petition's charges. If they do accept the case, the decision will be made within 60 days.
Jack-in-the-Box restaurants across the country will no longer reject deaf applicants. the chain dropped a nationwide policy that discriminated against hiring deaf employees after a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a deaf Texas teenager. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Jack in the Box last May after Alfonso Cruz was rejected for a cooking position because he was deaf and could not speak. The agency says the policy violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The hiring manager for Jack in the Box said the food-making system was too complex for someone who couldn't hear. But 3 weeks after being denied the job, Cruz proved he could handle the position by landing a job at a McDonald's.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Nearly half of baby boomers are experiencing some form of hearing loss. That's according to a new study released by the Ear Foundation and Clarity. Baby boomers are those born between 1945 and 1964. 76 million of them have begun to lose part of their hearing at a much more rapid pace than previous generations. 51% of those surveyed blamed the hearing loss on everyday noise pollution. The study also points out, though, that they are the first generation of rock and roll.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Have you been chipped yet? You could be soon, for the Food and Drug Administration has now cleared the way for a Florida corporation, Applied Digital Solutions, to market a tiny electronic device called VeriChip that is surgically implanted under the skin of your arm or hand. Don't worry, says the corporation soothingly. Being chipped doesn't hurt you, and it's really for your own good. For example, they say, if you have an accident, your implanted chip could contain vital medical information that could be accessed by an ambulance crew. Assuming the crew has bought a handheld chip-reading scanner, which Applied Digital also happens to sell. Besides coup the corporate hawkers, being chipped is a matter of great personal convenience for you. No longer would you have to carry cumbersome ID cards to get into your workplace. You could have all the required ID stored on your chip, right inside your body. And think of the convenience of not having to fumble with credit cards. Instead, your credit numbers literally are implanted in you. So rather than running your cards through a scanner, a retailer can simply scan you. Talk about consumer progress. VeriChip turns your own body, your very own self, into a barcoded payment system. After all, says Applied Digital, our country has been implanting such devices in millions of cattle and pets, and it has worked beautifully. So why not humans? For you fussy libertarians who see Big Brother looming behind every scientific breakthrough like VeriChip, the company says that being implanted is voluntary. So where's the worry? This is Jim Hightower saying, the worry, of course, is that being chipped will not stay voluntary. Corporations and government will soon insist that their employees, frequent travelers, protesters, and others be tagged for security reasons. To rebel against this effort to turn us into a nation of cattle, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-488-1140.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror, my wife's still in bed, and this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massage and gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
He's the man who uncovered. uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. We write to follow up on our urgent November 5th request that the Government Accountability Office immediately undertake an investigation of the efficacy of voting machines and new technologies used in the 2004 election. Our election officials responded to difficulties they encountered and what we can do in the future to improve our election systems and administration. Writes over the letterhead of the House of Representatives Committee on the Judiciary, writes Congressman John Conyers, Gerald Nadler, Robert Wexler, Robert C. Scott, Melvin Watt, and Rush Holt. In that letter, we indicated we would follow up with additional information as it becomes available. To that end, we also would request that you review and evaluate the following. More than 30,000 complaints have been noted on one website. We request that you evaluate a sampling of these incidents. 30,000 problems listed. Enclosed are more than 265 specific complaints. These include the following. In Sarpar County, Nebraska, a computer program doubled the votes in half the county's precinct, adding 3,000 phantom votes. In Guilford County, North Carolina, vote totals were so large that tabulation computers threw numbers away. Retallying changed two outcomes and awarded an additional $22,000 to John Kerry. In other words, he had... Those $22,000 for John Kerry had somehow vanished until somebody said, hey, let's look again. In Broward County, Florida, at least 21, Broward County, by the way, the most Democratic county in the entire state of Florida. In Broward County, Florida, at least 21 voting machines malfunctioned and were replaced. Most of them had already been used by voters. In other words, those votes didn't get counted. Talk about Warren County, Ohio, being locked down on a terrorism alert. Palm Beach County, Florida, county commissioner race plagued by malfunctioning voting machines. Although while this race remained too close to call, election officials announced the race for the incumbent with a margin of 580 votes. Poll workers in Broward County, Florida, expressed concern that boxes of absentee ballots remain uncounted in the central storage facilities and were promptly escorted out of the supervisor's office by security after raising that concern. The six members of Congress write, we continue to receive additional reports every minute and will transmit additional information as it becomes available. There is substantial concern that much of the primary evidence needed to evaluate these allegations will not be preserved without immediate action. We would greatly appreciate any steps you could take to ensure the preservation of this important information. So we shall see. We shall see. This story developing, as they say in the news business. Welcome back to the program, by the way. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Our website, tomhartman.com. However, as you spell it, it'll get you there. You can click live chat. It'll take you into our chat room, filled with some of the finest minds on the entire Internet. The Civil War is pretty much undeniable now in Iraq. Alawi's family, a first cousin and the cousin's wife, and according to early press reports, another family member, seized from their homes in Baghdad Tuesday morning. I've been saying ever since the bombing of the UN building that this was the beginning of the Civil War. What the anti-war movement was predicting would happen, that the Bush administration poo-pooed, the Sunni party, Iraq's official Sunni Muslim political party, has quit the U.S.-backed government Tuesday in protest over the assault on Fallujah. It's called the Islamic Party. They said enough of this. They say that even if they hold elections, they may not participate. Well, they've said that they won't, and we'll see, but... I'm telling you, this country was a civil war waiting to happen. And how could we have thought, when insurgents rose up against Saddam Hussein in the South at the encouragement of George Herbert Walker Bush, and said, we would like our own nation, please, the Shia, and Hussein slaughtered them, How could we have mistaken the power of nationalism in Iraq, having seen that? How could we have said, well, you know, they'll rise up against occupation by Saddam, an Iraqi, but they won't rise up against occupation by us, a foreign power? This is beyond naivete. This tragedy. 1-866, let's take a couple quick phone calls here. 1-866-889-8894. Ed in California on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Just one point. Why do you think the American people are being lulled to sleep?
Because it's profitable.
Yeah, but it's not even that. I mean,
no, I'm serious, Ed. That's the bottom line. The mass media in the United States, you've got about 15 corporations that control roughly 90% of everything people see, hear, and read. All the newspapers, all the magazines, the movies, the television and radio content. It's incredible. And those corporations like us to be entertained, but they really don't want to be answerable to a government of, by, and for we the people.
Well, I guess that's why when Bush announced that he was going to control the media for the war, and he has. He's controlled the news coming out of Iraq.
Absolutely.
And we sit there and don't rise up against it. And
with the exception of programs like this, Air America Radio and Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, pretty much everybody else has rolled over. And that's why we need to have a grassroots movement in the United States to say, you know, it's reasonable and appropriate to start using the Sherman Act right across the board.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And just, you know, keep on keeping on, because it just amazes me. We keep rolling up. We're so afraid of losing our... In California, we have these associations. Everybody in this place is afraid that they're going to put up a wrong color curtain.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, homeowners associations and stuff.
Oh.
You probably don't have it in Vermont.
Yeah, no, I've been through it, you know, in a
but
neighborhood.
But it's another form of communism, for God's sakes.
Well...
We just want to go along and have nobody bother us, us think, allow us to be ourselves.
Okay, Ed, let me offer you the flip side of that, because we live in a house that's in a historic district, and there are all these rules. If you want to change the house, you know, you've got to go to a committee and get the approval. And frankly, you know, as a person who lives under those rules right this very moment, and has in the past and hasn't in the past, I would say that if a local community decides on its own, if the majority of the residents of a local community decide that they want to have some say in the look and feel of the community, that that's not an unreasonable thing. That's democracy. If the federal government came in here and said that, you know, if I wanted to paint my house purple, I'd need the permission of the federal government, I would be at arms. I mean, I would be fighting back. But when it's my own local community, and it's the collection of the homeowners who are part of this community, who are answerable to each other, how is that communism?
Because they're absolutely, and I was just trying to make an example for you.
Okay.
I know of people who put up curtains and are told to take down the wrong color curtains for the community.
Yeah, and at that
sorry,
point,
that has nothing to do with democracy or democratics.
Well, it does if it's the community saying that, and that's the point at which, and that's the self-correcting nature of democracy, by the way, Ed, and because generally when community associations, when we lived down in Atlanta back 10, 15 years ago, we lived in a neighborhood that had a community association, and one of our neighbors painted their door red and freaked out about it, and they started this thing, and they were going to try and fine them $500 a week or whatever, and the community association got together and said, hey guys, chill out, this is not a big deal, and there was this whole upheaval and people got voted off and everything changed. In other words, it corrected itself.
Well, I'll try to look at it your way from now on, okay?
Well,
I'll take a different look at it.
Okay.
What I try to make the point is that we're willing to flop over on the news media and just about everything else in our lives.
Yeah, I think the big issues are the ones, you know, these yes, absolutely. Well said, Ed. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And it's important, I think, that we differentiate different types of tyranny, if you want to call it that, or interference or in you know, participation. Let's go to Brian in New Jersey. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to let you know that I'm over that despair and I'm at the acceptance part. So,
ready to move on.
Yeah, I've, you know, I write my senators. I write my letters to the editor. I do pretty much everything I can, but I heard you say organize earlier.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, and actually I heard a Jim Hightower commercial about the Verichips, and he gave a number out, and I was really happy that he did that because I didn't know where to find that number. How do we find an organization that appeals to our ideals, or what if we can't find one? How do we ourselves organize one and then go out and actually do it?
This is the question of the month right now, Brian, because there is a vacuum that exists, and nature abhors a vacuum, political nature and any other kind of nature, and there is a huge vacuum that exists right now, as much as John Kerry has left the ship, right? He's left the building. The Democratic Party looks like it's left the building. Maybe they're going to fight on, who knows, but if they're going to roll over for Alberto Gonzalez and, you know, on it goes, and they're going to try and seek the moderate middle and whatnot, there is a huge vacuum. And whether it's going to be Americans Coming Together, ACT, whether it's going to be MoveOn.org, whether it's going to be Democracy for America, Howard Dean's group, whether something else is going to emerge into this, or whether it's going to be people like you and me taking up local issues and just, you know, digging ourselves into our communities and getting more involved with local issues, as is happening here in Vermont. I mean, we had Anthony Polina on this program last Friday, a local guy who ran for lieutenant governor and for governor, respectively, in 2002 and 2000 on the progressive ticket. And this year didn't run, but we saw six seats in the House of Representatives in the state of Vermont picked up by progressives in rural counties in Vermont. And the rural counties here are the counties that if you gave them an opportunity to vote on an anti-gay amendment, they'd do it in a heartbeat. And yet the progressives are picking them up. How is that? Because the Progressive Party has been talking about local issues. They've been talking about corporations coming in and wiping out family farms. They've been
I saw a great political cartoon today
where
these people are standing in line, and it's the unemployment line, and the guy at the very end has said, I voted on moral issues. So
yeah,
that's why they're coming together.
I voted on moral issues, too. I voted against the war in Iraq, and I voted for John Kerry. And those were moral issues in my mind. This is inanity. It's not just insanity. It's inanity. It's a pathetic, you know. Voting on moral issues. It's all about gay marriage. No, I'm sorry. You know, people dying is a moral issue. People dying. That's Brian. Thanks for the call.
Thank you,
hear
Tom.
From you. I appreciate it. It's here we have in Iraq. You know, young men and women, Americans, Iraqis, volunteers from around the world that we've been able to bamboozle into this thing, dying as part of George Bush's re-election strategy, as laid out by Karl Rove in December of 2002, according to Bob Woodward's book. Rove comes down to Texas and says, we're going to get you re-elected in 2004. You're going to be the war president, or words to that effect. You know, strong leadership. That's the key. And, you know, this is just tragic. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Ecolonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Ecolonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. All of the attention given to Halliburton and their no-bid contract in Iraq would make you think that it is not a regular practice. But a new report from the Center of Public Integrity reveals that at least $362 billion was spent on no-bid contracts by the Pentagon since 1998. But the Pentagon did not stop there, rewarding $255 billion in cost-plus contracts that allow companies to spend as much as they deem necessary on a job, including an agreed-upon profit.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Acid rain is not a problem, said a businessman. But all the fish are belly up and floating round. And there's nothing growing from the ground. Just ask Farmer Brown.
And welcome to the Republican world.
On the corner are some activists with picket signs. They want the factories to stop their filthy ways. But the government says it's okay. It'll go away any day. Acid rain is up my nose and in my eyes.
That's great. That is a great song. 24 and a half minutes past the hour, 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Iraqi troops condemned and threatened for fighting at least 200 desert. You've probably noticed the 2,000 Iraqi troops, there's been fairly low fatalities among the Iraqis. Because 10% of them have already deserted. Interesting. This is from Knight Ritter. And rebel fighters who fled attack may be now active elsewhere. As the civil war in Iraq continues, those who were in Fallujah opposing us are now in Samarra and Baghdad, and on it goes. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Jeanne in Cedar Crest, New Mexico.
It's Janine.
Janine, I'm sorry. Hey, Janine.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. So many of us are frustrated, thinking people are frustrated by what's happened. But what scares me is that people are not going to want to get out and vote again.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start, Janine, next week. I'm going to start an online, not online, on the air class in neurolinguistic programming, NLP. We're gonna take some time every week and devote it to teaching people how to understand the strategies, the use of language, the way the jujitsu with language that the cons have used in order to seize control of the agenda. For example, taking the estate tax, which has been understood and accepted for centuries in the United States, and calling it the death tax, and instantly changing its meaning and going from 70% support for it to 30% support for it just by changing a word. How does that work? How does it work at the deepest levels of people's brains? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to every week we're going to take one piece of this, and I want to start educating people about how do we communicate things effectively? What are the specific issues? How did Newt pull that together? You know, how did he come up with his word list? And I've been trained in this stuff. In fact, I've been trained to train people in this stuff, and so I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna start doing it. Louise and I are organizing it right now. We're gonna start it next week. A class in NLP.
I've been kicking around an idea though that just won't go away in my mind.
Okay.
What if we start like a national petition? To say, call it My Vote Counts to give it a positive spin, but to get people to sign a petition saying that they won't vote unless your suggestion, unless this is taken out of the hands of private corporations, unless our vote. To me, you know, the number one thing we have to do is to get confidence back in our voting process.
Yeah.
Second is to hit corruption.
Yeah.
But the first thing we've got to do, and we've got to do this before 2006, is to get people's confidence back in the vote.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, Janine. However, I don't think I don't remember if you saw the movie Blazing Saddles, where the guy puts the gun to his own head and says, you know, don't come after me or I'll shoot, right? And everybody goes, oh, wait. You know, I don't think that we should say we won't vote unless you do this. I think we should say you must do this. I mean, let's just assert it.
Okay.
Let's just say, hey, it's time to get corporations out of the vote. The vote is the most sacred of all the commons. It is that piece of government that we least are willing to allow private interest groups, which is what a corporation is, to tamper with.
Right.
I mean, just very straightforward, and we don't have to threaten to go away. We need to threaten to be more active. In fact, we need to threaten to vote against them.
Well, I would love to have like 60,000 petitions, names on a petition, turn them over to Bernie Sanders and have him roll it into the House of Representatives and say, the people have spoken.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say this week. Thanks, Janine, for the call. Good suggestion. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number. Tom Hartman with you. 29. Minutes past the hour.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As the month-long hotel strike in San Francisco slogs on, hotel workers across the country are beginning to show solidarity. On Monday, a picket line was set up in front of a Regency Hyatt in Monterey, California, and many workers refused to cross, disrupting hotel service. The Monterey protest was in solidarity with the workers who are currently striking against 14 hotels in San Francisco. Represented by Unite Here, the two sides are unable to come to an agreement over wages, benefits, and the length of the next contract. A similar solidarity strike was held in Boston 2 weeks ago.
Garment Workers Union Unite Here, along with a coalition of trade associations, has filed its eighth petition seeking safeguard restrictions against textiles from China. The petitions claim domestic textile production is being squashed by Chinese imports. Lloyd Wood, Director of Media Relations for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition.
After China joined the WTO, Chinese U.S. import market share increased from less than 10% in 2001 to more than 70% as of June 2004. So what we saw was when China had quota-free access to the U.S. market, they literally overwhelmed every other player in the market.
The petitions were given to the Committee for the Implementation of Textile Agreements, which has 15 days to either accept or reject the petition's charges. If they do accept the case, the decision will be made within 60 days.
Jack in the Box restaurants across the country will no longer reject deaf applicants. The chain dropped a nationwide policy that discriminated against hiring deaf employees after a lawsuit was filed on behalf of a deaf Texas teenager. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Jack in the Box last May after Alfonso Cruz was rejected for a cooking position because he was deaf and could not speak. The agency says the policy violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The hiring manager for Jack in the Box said the food-making system was too complex for someone who couldn't hear. But 3 weeks after being denied the job, Cruz proved he could handle the position by landing a job at a McDonald's.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Nearly half of baby boomers are experiencing some form of hearing loss. That's according to a new study released by the Ear Foundation and Clarity. Baby boomers are those born between 1945 and 1964. 76 million of them have begun to lose part of their hearing at a much more rapid pace than previous generations. 51% of those surveyed blamed the hearing loss on everyday noise pollution. The study also points out, though, that they are the first generation of rock and roll.
And listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Rebel fighters who fled the attack may be active elsewhere. Oh, we talked about that. There are sometimes you look at the news and you just go, how could we possibly have done this? How could we possibly? And we went out in the streets and we said, you know, George, if you try this, And these guys, they really believed, and I think they really sincerely believed, that the Iraqis would just say, oh, thank you for getting rid of Saddam, and have all of our oil that you want, and just bring your corporations in here and do anything you want, and, you know, you don't have to hire us, no, but you don't, you know, just, yeah, come on in. How could we have been so naive? Martha in Massachusetts is on the line. Hey, Martha, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Listen, stop saying how we could have done this. We didn't do it.
We could have done what?
We did.
Hang on just a second. We could have done who? What's the? There's too many unspecified pronouns in there. Stop saying who could have done what.
Well, you're saying we, like we the people.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's Bush and his administration that did that.
Oh, you mean we went into Iraq. Well, how could we do... Okay, I understand what you're saying. And, yes, I'm... You know, how could the United States government... How could these idiots in Washington, D.C. have been so naive?
There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a comment about... Someone had mentioned that, you know, why is John Kerry just sitting back and letting this happen? Why is the Democratic Party just sitting back and letting this happen?
Yeah, why do you think that is?
All the news that's coming out and everything?
Yeah.
I don't think they are. I think they're waiting until they have a case good enough.
I do too, and that's what I've been saying all along, is that if unless you've got some really solid evidence, you really do
right.
just look like a bad loser, and that's the
right.
worst
and
thing.
That's
the absolute worst thing. And if they can
yeah.
find some solid evidence, they will nail these people. And
I think they will.
And the Electoral College, well, I'm skeptical, frankly, but we'll see. I think that there's, I'm sure that there is vote fraud here and there that they will find. But whether it's going to be enough and whether it's going to constitute some huge systemic thing, I suspect that, you know, the stealth weapon in this campaign that is only now being recognized was the churches who really out-organized the Republicans. Fascinating article about this in today's Washington Post about go ahead.
Not only that, he's broken every American law, international law, the Geneva Conference. Now, if that was another country, don't you think they'd go after them?
Yeah.
For that, war crimes and what? I mean, he's done everything.
I know.
Why can't he be impeached?
Well, you know, Richard Nixon won his second term by a much larger margin of victory than George W. Bush did. And you could see where he was 2 years later. Now, the thing was, 2 years later, he had a Democratic House and Senate that he was facing, so investigations could proceed. That's why I think it's so important that we retrench at the local level and start looking at candidates within our states that we can get into the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives in 2 years and begin that work and that planning right now.
Well, I've written letters to Marty Meehan and Senator Kerry, of course, and Senator Kennedy, and some local Democrats. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm hoping maybe this will get something going.
Yeah, there you go, Martha.
I think there's a lot of things already in place.
Yeah, I do too. Don't give up. Keep working There you go. Okay, thanks for the call. It's great to hear from you. I appreciate it. We must persist. You know, hang on here. And push through. And hey, in politics, sometimes you lose elections. That's life. I mean, sometimes you actually lose elections. I think, you know, for a lot of people for whom this might have been their first real, you know, jumping into politics, it might be a shock, but not just the national election, the congressional elections. It's interesting. If it wasn't for Tom DeLay's gerrymandering in Texas, which in my opinion is also a crime, you know, I mean, the Constitution specifically says every year that ends with zero, in other words, every 10 years, based on a census, the states shall reapportion their districts. But DeLay pushed this thing through and in the process picked up a half a dozen new seats for the Republicans in the House of Representatives. If it hadn't been for that, Democrats actually would have picked up seats, a net positive, in the House of Representatives. So the Democrats actually did pretty good in the House races this year. Speaking of Texas, Alan in New Braunfels, Texas is on the line. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind?
Yes, I was wondering about these voting machines that we're voting on.
Yes, sir.
It's like 45 million of us are voting on these machines, and there's different kinds of machines. And
yep.
See, some of them are owned by corporations.
Yeah, and it varies. In most cases, actually, the way it works, Alan, is that the local community will buy the machine, but they don't own the software. And the software is then installed on the machine and periodically updated, and sometimes updated even the day before the election. Now, a lot of that went on in 2002 and in 2000. And the corporations that sold the machines to the local municipalities say that the government, the local government, has no right to see the software, has no right to know how the software works, is not allowed to you know, reverse engineer it, to hack or break open the software and take a look at it, and it's really the software that runs the whole thing. I mean, you know, you push buttons and whatnot, and it's the software on the machine that decides where those votes go. And this is you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that this is where the vote is held by the corporations.
So this sounded like something out of 1984 or George Orwell or something.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine if in Cuba, Fidel Castro's brother Raul started a voting machine company, or even let's say it wasn't even a relative of his, just somebody in the Communist Party of Cuba, started a voting machine company and installed voting machines all over Cuba, and Castro on those voting machines and said, you know, this is our company, you can't look at the software, blah, 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 and Castro got voted in. Do you think that this administration would take the election seriously?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
It's safe to be complaining about cheating and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or if Castro got the vote because his Supreme Court gave it to him because his brother, who ran the largest county in Cuba, helped rig the election so that 20,000 anti-Castro people couldn't vote. I mean, you know, it just goes on. When you look at the United States as if it was a foreign country for a moment, in other words, just step back, get a little perspective, and look at it, and say, you know, how would we view this if it was happening somewhere else in the world? All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, this is like a banana republic. Alan, thanks for the call. Good to hear
Thank
from you.
You.
I appreciate you calling in. Our telephone number 1-866-889-8894, and Ruben in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Ruben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
my question is why are we not putting a face on these corporations by questioning the CEOs and their lawyers?
Well, you know, Wally O'Dell is actually, who's the chairman of Diebold, which is one of the largest of these companies, is pretty famous. I mean, he's the guy who wrote that memo in Ohio. He lives in Ohio. Diebold is headquartered there, saying that, you know, he was going to help bring in Ohio for the Republican Party, which made a lot of people scratch their heads. And so he's fairly well known. ESNS has gone through a couple of different iterations. The original company was started by, as I recall, by a family in Nebraska, which is part of the movement to replace the Constitution with the Bible. Several, you know, another one of these companies is pretty famous. I mean, he's the guy who wrote that memo in Ohio. He lives in Ohio. Diebold is headquartered there, saying that, you know, he was going to help bring in Ohio for the Republican Party. Which made a lot of people scratch their heads. And so he's fairly well known. ESNS has gone through a couple of different iterations. The original company was started by, as I recall, by a family in Nebraska, which is part of the movement to replace the Constitution with the Bible. Several, you know, another one of these companies was has some Saudi investors in it, the one that was going to do the e-voting. I don't have the details on that company right in front of me, but... Yeah, it's they don't have a public face put on them, I would say, because it is this, you know, you've got corporate-owned press, you've got corporate-owned voting machines, you know, you've got a lot of interlocking boards of directors, you've, you know, it's, this is the crypto-fascism and the neo-fascism, the new corporate state here that's been established in the United States, and it's an unhealthy thing, but. That's what's going on. National Wildlife Refuge to Energy Exploration. This from an article in the New York Times. In direct response to your comment, Ruben, about, you know, what about the environment? What's the Bush administration going to do? Well, here, this article by Felicity Berenger and Michael Janofsky just lays it out. The groundwork for the push was laid down in the past 4 years, even as environmental groups, congressional moderates, and the courts try to put our principles into all environmental policy. Now, you get it. When people talk about free market, they're not talking about a marketplace into which you or I as a small business person could easily enter. They're not talking about a marketplace in which workers have some guarantee that if they play by the rules and work hard, that they can retire safely, that they'll have their health care, that their education will be covered, that their kids will have decent schools. They're not. What they're talking about is a market run of, by, and for very, very large corporations. Just, you know, very, very straightforward. Michael O. Levitt, administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, formerly a lobbyist, says, the election is a validation of our philosophy and agenda. We will make more progress in less time while maintaining economic competitiveness for the country. That is my mission. These are buzzwords, my friends, for... we don't care about the will of the people. We don't care about Ruben's kid's asthma. Our issue right now is reducing the, you know, the restrictions on the amount of mercury that a power plant can produce, allowing more arsenic to be used in the mining of gold out in the West, and on it goes. I mean, it's GOP plans to give environmental rules a free market tilt. Bush administration officials say that among the first measures moved toward enactment will be those that govern air pollution levels. I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Ruben. The administration's initiative, known as Clear Skies, which generated lukewarm support in Congress during Bush's first term, is about to come out of mothballs. Clear Skies establishes lower emission standards for pollutions like nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and mercury, but environmental groups complain it does not reduce them as much or as soon as levels set forth in a competing bill, or by enforcement of the Clean Air Act. In other words, see, the New York Times, they're being so gentle in saying this. The Clean Air Act right now, the law as it is right now, says you've got to clean up these pollutants to these particular levels. And the Clear Skies Initiative says, not so fast. We'll make it a little easier for you, industry. You don't have to clean up quite that much. I mean, this is virtually Orwellian doublespeak. Clear Skies establishes lower emission standards for pollutions like nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and mercury. But environmental groups like they're the only ones complaining, right? Complain that it does not reduce them as much or as soon as levels set forth in a competing bill or by enforcement of the Clean Air Act. In other words, the environmentalists are complaining that this new, the Clean Skies Initiative, Clear Skies Initiative, doesn't reduce pollutants as much as enforcing the law would. Senator James M. Jeffords, the Vermont Independent, who is a ranking minority member of the committee and co-sponsor of the completing bill, said it saddened him that Mr. Bush was leading efforts to undermine air standards that his father, the first President Bush, had supported. Citing the new alignment in the Senate, 55 Republicans, 44 Democrats, and himself, Mr. Jeffords says, we have the power to block any measure detrimental to the environment. Yeah, that's the filibuster. Good luck. For now, the Bush administration has no intention of regulating heat-trapping gases like carbon dioxide, which scientists believe contribute to global warming. Another top priority of powerful congressional Republicans is the 31-year-old Endangered Species Act. These guys don't just want to roll back the New Deal. They want to roll back every bit of progressive legislation that's been passed since 1930. Mind-boggling. Helen in West Virginia on the line. Hey, Helen, we only have about a minute left here. I'm sorry. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. Okay. Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Let me back up. I wanted to make a comment real quick. I didn't know if anyone had talked about the president going on Election Day after he voted in Texas and flew to Ohio. And I heard you say Diebold was out of there?
Yeah, that's where they're headquartered.
Is it Columbus?
I'm not sure, frankly.
Well,
it may well be.
That, hey, just to thank his volunteers is very unlike him. I mean, he has them all over the country, doesn't he?
So maybe he went there to visit the Diebold folks and say, hey, is the fix in?
Is it okay? Yeah.
I don't know, Helen. Are we wearing tinfoil for hats? I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
Maybe we are. Anyhow, good point. Right. Thanks, Helen. I appreciate it. 10 minutes before the hour.
Bonjour. My name is Veronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you 3 of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots, organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
This is a Workers' Independent News Service feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. A recent report released by the Sierra Club, the United Steelworkers, SEIU, Unite Here, and others reveals clean energy policies would create at least a million new jobs in the United States.
Clean energy policies will create 1.4 million new jobs nationwide once the policies are implemented. These are policies for clean cars and clean energy.
Dan Becker, director of the Global Warming Program at the Sierra Club.
What the study did was it looked at what happens when we save energy. When you have a car that uses less gas, you're saving money on the gasoline. When you have refrigerators and light bulbs and other appliances that use less electricity, you're saving money on electricity. Rather than exporting that money to the Persian Gulf for oil or out of state to an electric utility, you get to spend that money on something else.
The report found that American households would save more than $1,000 annually by 2025. And Becker says increased consumer buying power helps all workers by creating jobs.
I think it became very clear that manufacturing jobs were being eroded not by environmental regulation in the United States, but by faulty trade agreements.
David Foster, District 11 Director for the United Steelworkers, sees a shift in the way union members view the environment.
We lost 3,500 steelworker jobs in the state of Minnesota. Every single one of them was lost because of trade agreements. Not a one of them was lost because of American environmental regulation.
In addition to increased jobs, Becker says clean energy policies would reduce global warming and protect the quality of our air, drinking water, and food.
No one knows better than workers that we need a clean environment. And the good news from this study is that we can have a clean environment and more jobs, that the two go hand in hand, and that's good for all of us.
With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Yeah, we've solved the Kennedy assassination. It's all laid out in the chat room. Those of you in the chat room, seriously, that's actual factual information that is in there. And those of you who are not in our chat room, just get to scratch your heads. I'll tell you about it next week. The UN calls on the United States to explain the Patriot Act. This is going to have the Reichwingers in a tizzy. Just like, you know, Hitler pulled out of the League of Nations. UN, we don't need no stinking UN. In Geneva, UN Human Rights Panel said on Friday it was asking the United States to address the human rights implications of the Patriot Act, as well as the legal status and treatment of detainees in Afghanistan, Guantanamo, and Iraq. How dare they? How dare the United Nations say, hey, what about the legal status and treatment of detainees held by the United States in Afghanistan, Guantanamo, and Iraq? This is wrong. The committee also said it's still waiting for a report from the United States, which was due in 1998. Now, this apparently is not a problem unique to the Bush administration. The submission deadline has been repeatedly postponed over the last 6 years. We must now submit it by December 31st of this year. The committee wants the United States to address the Patriot Act. Enacted following the September 11 attacks, the law gives the government sweeping powers. Well, you know what the Patriot Act is. This is from the Star Online, from an international newspaper here. And the human rights groups have long expressed concern over growing evidence of prisoner abuse at U.S. detention facilities in Afghanistan and Guantanamo Bay, as well as Iraq prisons like Abu Ghraib, and so on and so forth. The Guantanamo Bay, long-time concern. So the U.N. wants us to answer for this. I think that we'll put that off for another 6 years, won't we? I think, though, that we should be answering to the American people. I thought that was fascinating that just very recently a judge blocked one of these, put a halt to the trials going on, the military trials, said, enough, can't do it, that's not right. And we need to be reexamining the position of America. I mean, we need to take America back to the point where we were the moral leaders of the world? Because that's really the only kind of leadership that one can exercise ultimately when it comes right down to it is moral leadership. And we were the moral leaders of the world. We told the truth. We didn't start wars that, you know, just for fun. And when we did in Vietnam, we paid a horrible price domestically and internationally for it. We need to return to moral leadership in the United States. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today, to Ira for engineering it, to Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company for helping sponsor it, and our other sponsors as well. Thanks to the folks in our chat room, to folks at radiopower.org. Thanks to you. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor.